This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's Mahomes' world. We're paying rent.
Absolutely.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Niners fans are saying we can stop the conversation. And yes, you can. You've got to take Mahomes and put his ass on the turf.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports broadcaster Kevin Burkhardt, Prime Video Thursday night analyst Andrew Whitworth. Coming up, CBS Sports broadcaster Jim Nantz, Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, it is hour number two, day number two of Super Bowl week. And as soon as we are done with this show, we're all heading to the airport and we are taking off for Las Vegas, Nevada. And our show emanates from the Super Bowl experience over the next 3 days. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Great chat in hour number one with the voice of the NFL on Fox, the man who called the 49ers divisional comeback win over Green Bay and an NFC championship game comeback win over the Lions. Kevin Burkhardt of Fox just left. Jim Nantz will be joining us in about 20 minutes time. But let's go right now to, I believe he is zooming in from Las Vegas, Nevada, a good friend of the program, does this show quite frequently. He was also the guest of Susie and Amy on What the Football a couple of weeks ago. From Prime Video, courtesy of Mattel Creations, good to see you, Andrew Whitworth. How are you?
Rich, what's going on, baby? I'll be waiting on you at the baggage claim, man. Come on, let's go.
You know what? You know, Andrew, you touched upon a subject matter that I was planning on touching upon later on. It's a very, very touchy subject, checking a bag when you're going on a group trip. Andrew, I don't do those things. I carry on, and that's so you won't see me at baggage claim, sir. Certainly not at that airport.
Well, here's the good news, Rich. You know, not to get off subject, but my very first job as an analyst with Amazon last year, the Chiefs Chargers, I actually forgot all my bags at the airport. So I was the teammate that we pulled up to the hotel and they said, all right, everyone get your bags out. And I realized I never got them from the airport. So I had to go all the way back. In my first road trip as an analyst. So, I really had it mastered from the jump.
So, hold on a second. You, in your first road trip, I believe, was that to Kansas City last year? Was that your first?
Okay. Kansas City Chargers.
I remember that.
You know, it's the whole deal.
Right.
Rich, you show up, you're excited. I saw Kaylee and Carissa and Ryan. I'm like, oh, it's everybody. Like, this is our group.
Yeah.
Got to talking. I got in the car. Not only did I check a bag, I also had a carry-on that I just flat out left while I was grabbing a coffee. So I had to get an Uber. Best part is, here it is, Rich. You don't tell on yourself. So I got to the hotel. I got in an Uber. I went back to the airport, and I searched for all my bags and then took an Uber back to the hotel. Nobody knew but Carissa for a while.
You didn't.
That was amazing. Wow.
You didn't tell anybody, huh? Okay, except Carissa. I get it. So hold on a second. Last one, is that because you NFL guys don't handle your own baggage? Is that you just thought somebody would just do it for you, Andrew, in media?
Well, you know her. I'm pretty sure she was like, first time you've ever actually had to go through the airport. And I was like, yeah, exactly. You know, we're used to getting bussed out to the tarmac.
Charter.
You know, we threw our bag on the plane. So, little spoiled. That's all it was, Rich.
You just need to travel with Al, where you don't touch your bag once. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. You got to go on Air Al.
Air Al, baby.
Yeah.
Air Al, baby.
Well, good to see you, Andrew Whitworth. Let's just jump right into it. Super Bowl 58 will come down to what?
I think really you look at it for the Chiefs, it seems like Andy Reid has really been a game plan guy these last 3 weeks in the playoffs. It's like every week he's kind of had a true plan of how he was going to attack the specific team. And we've talked about it, I think you and I, a couple weeks ago, about just him different usage of his personnel and things like that offensively, using more tight ends and that. But it's also been a shift in the run game. They've gone from being this zone football team to a pull, power, counter, lead type team. And it's been dramatic. I mean, they've gone from being leading by outside zone, inside zone to this team where we're going to pull our linemen, we're going to get them in space, and we're going to create holes that way. And it has been electric for this offense. They've run the ball better than they have all season these last couple weeks. So I think that's going to be the key. Can the Niners stop the run for them so that you eliminate all those opportunities for Mahomes to do things with you when they're moving the chains? And then on the Niners side, will you lean on the run game? I mean, Kyle Shanahan in two Super Bowl appearances, 0 points in the fourth quarter, heavily passed, all leaning towards throwing the ball a lot, not running it much. Will he lean on the run game? That's the one weakness the Chiefs have shown defensively, is they have not stopped the run well.
So when you were preparing to take on the Niners in an NFC championship game, or the Rams were back in your day, Andrew, what were you looking at that you think the Chiefs might be looking at right now to exploit in this game?
I think it's a different team. I mean, when we played them, really a couple years ago, I thought they were really good against the run. This year, for whatever reason, they've started to struggle a little bit, especially here in these playoffs, to stop the run game. Maybe just trying to create, hey, we don't want to give up any explosives is their mentality. But you look at it, they haven't played as well as you would think they would in the playoffs. They've come back in all these games to find ways to win, which really says a lot about the job Brock Purdy's done to bring them back. But I think this team's much different in their style and how they've played. And so I think, to me, the physicality is the big thing you thought about when you played that team, is they just play with an energy and a physicality that's rare. But this Chiefs team has played exactly like that all playoffs long. And that's why I think this game is going to be awesome, because there's going to be a lot of energy and a lot of physical play on both sides of the football.
What did you think of Andrew Whitworth, Nick Bosa's quote when asked about what he sees on film from the, you're laughing, the Chiefs offensive lineman, quote, they hold a lot, end quote. What did you think of that?
Listen, I got paid for 16 years to hold people, Rich. It was great. So listen, all we are is linemen. Listen, linemen are just high paid bouncers. Okay. Keep you out of the door. That's our job. We're not letting you in the door. So I don't care. Call it a hold. Call it a grab. Say I fell down in front of you. If you don't get to the quarterback, I win. So that's all I worried about. And so I think for the Chiefs linemen, they don't care. Say whatever you want, Bosa. We're going to stop you from getting there, and that's the only thing we care about.
They hold a lot. That was funny. You got to give them credit for
yes,
that,
we
right?
Do. Nick's awesome. I love it. He's got a great dry wit about him. I thought that was awesome. I mean, that's the only thing he saw.
So that said, in all seriousness, are you concerned about the tackles for the Chiefs?
I will say it's going to be a big part of the game, but I think just as big as if Joe Tooney's not in there, really the ability of Javon Hargrave, can he really make an impact on this game? Because you think about it, like Nick Bosa is a guy, the way he wins is a lot of power, hand swipe stuff where he's going to close these edges. But if he's going to be closing these edges, that's what makes the Niners rush special. If Javon Hargrave can create pressure in the middle, against Nick Allegretti, I think that's a big part of condensing that pocket on Mahomes and not giving him space to get out. And so that will be an emphasis for this 49ers D line. And if they can get that done, they'll win the Super Bowl, because that's really going to be the thing that tells the story. The only Super Bowl we've seen Patrick Mahomes lose and played in, he was missing both his tackles and was under pressure a lot. And so they've got to find a way to create pressure if they want to be able to stop Mahomes.
And that said, one of the reasons why the Chiefs are in this game, Andrew Whitworth, is because the defense of the Chiefs has been so special, and Steve Spagnuolo pulled his Spags bag of tricks out on Lamar Jackson. So what do you think he's got cooked up for Brock Purdy in this game to speed him up and get him seeing some ghosts, maybe?
Yeah, I think the interesting part will be really the discipline that the Niners use offensively. I thought, really look at that Detroit game, even as bad as it went early, they never really deviated from who they are and the system they run. And in this game, I think it'll be similar. Spags is going to have a plan for how he's going to stop this offense at the beginning of the game. And are the Niners going to commit to being able to run the football and run it successfully? Because that's how you're going to beat this Chiefs team. Build it off the run, play actions off of that, and then take your opportunities to get back in gun and use it as you move the football and get those chains moving. But they've got to get the chains moving first. So I think Spags is going to have a plan for all these motions and shifts and how they're going to defend Deebo. But it's going to be a challenge, because this is much different than the teams they've played. Now you're really dealing with, hey, we can try to eliminate a receiver in Brandon Ayuk, but then there's the other receiver in Deebo Samuel, who is dynamic with the football in his hands at every level of the field, whether it's running routes or in the backfield getting the football as well. That's a big challenge for a defensive coordinator. Really have to defend it on all levels.
So it's prediction time, Andrew. What do you have for me on this front?
I had this conversation with you just a couple weeks ago, Rich. I'm tired of picking against Mahomes. But I guess I'm just going to keep doing it. Maybe I'm a good luck charm for him, because I just say every week they're not winning and every week they win. So I'm going to do it again. I just think the Niners' weapons, this is their opportunity. This game sets up how they should be able to win a football game. The Chiefs haven't been as good this season. They've struggled at moments. They've been on fire the last few weeks. But the Niners, I think, have not played as well in the playoffs as we've seen them play in the regular season, and they're due to have a big night. So I'm going 49ers.
You haven't learned, is what you're saying. You have not learned.
No, but maybe it's on purpose at this point. You know, that's at least what I'm selling. That's what I'm telling Patrick and Travis and those guys when I see them, when they're like, hey, you picked against us all year. We won the Super Bowl. I'm just, hey, listen, I was doing it to help you guys. It was working.
Yeah, but they don't buy that. They don't buy at all.
You know? Maybe.
No, no, okay. What's the score? What score do you have? What's your final score?
Oh, man.
Yeah, come on.
That's a good one. You know, I think you're really putting me on it today. It's Super Bowl week. Let's go. Step up.
That's right.
I'm going to go 24-20, San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Chris, what does that mean?
That's exactly what Scott Van Pelt did. That's okay. Niners cover and the under.
Okay. When you when you say those things, those mean something to the Vegas.
I don't know
people.
What it means. I don't know what
that means. It means I'm going to make a ton of money.
Okay, very good. Didn't know that.
That's what it means.
So, what are you doing for Mattel Creations and Fisher Price, Andrew? What's your scoop?
Oh, baby, second year in a row, Rich. My kids are going to love me.
Ooh.
Little People collector sets, baby.
Ooh.
The Niners and the Chiefs, Little People's collector sets.
That is cool.
You can go on MattelCreations.com.
Yes.
Put in an order for your team, who you think's winning.
Yeah.
If your team loses, you get refunded. But if your team wins, you get a Super Bowl 58 collection set that you can keep forever for your kids, for you. It's great memorabilia. But, hey, you were talking about lines, overs, unders. Yes. I don't understand that either. What I do understand is,
yes,
if you want to find something to help you make your bet, right now the Chiefs are leading at MattelCreations.com in the orders that have been placed. The highest percentage is leaning towards the Chiefs, 60%. So I don't know what all measurements you guys are using to make your pick. But as of MattelCreations.com, the Chiefs are ahead.
So you can go to MattelCreations.com, pre-order your collection set. So the Chiefs set includes, wait a minute, I have it here, Mahomes, Travis Kelce, L'Jarius Sneed is in there as well.
Yeah, come on, baby.
Is it true that Kadarius Toney was in that set and he's now no longer in that set? Is that wrong? I'm sorry. I'm just looking. Okay. Didn't know.
But don't pop.
All right. Fred Warner, Purdy, and McCaffrey. I like it. And both sets include a super fan. This is cool, man.
Can we guess who the super
fan
is?
Come on. It's really fun.
I love it.
I actually have, I have one they made me last year after doing this with a sports coat and a hoodie. The kids keep in their room.
Really?
So it's pretty special.
Oh, that's
so
cool. I would take one of those.
I think they will take notice that you said that. Rich.
I would definitely take one of those, and I wouldn't leave it at the airport either. I would take it. What a story, man! That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Didn't tell anyone.
You football players just don't. You just show up and you just think people will do stuff for you. You know what I mean, Andrew? What can I tell you?
We're spoiled. What do you want me to say?
No, you are not.
I hold and I can't take care of myself.
Yes.
I mean, I'm basically useless.
Andrew, you're the best, man. Thanks for a great season coming in studio, hanging with Susie and Amy as well on What the Football. And I look forward to having you back all the time and seeing you here in LA.
Yeah, brother, you too, man.
Okay,
all
Andrew,
I'll see you
in Vegas. Thanks again. You are the best as well. Andrew Whitworth of Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, Super Bowl champion, Walter Payton Man of the Year, says MattelCreations.com is the spot to pre-order your collector set. So you order one, you get refunded. Wouldn't you still want the collector set, even if your team loses? What, you're out?
Yeah, I'd kind of want it.
Wouldn't you want it?
But it's, you know, it's like those T-shirts of the non-winning, you know, the team that don't win the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. All right, so you just ship it out
shipped
overseas?
Off
yeah,
know?
So.
Okay.
So wait a minute. He said that comes with a super fan, right?
And yes.
I mean, are we,
I don't know.
Guessing who's coming in?
No, I guess it's just a small collect, you know, item that looks
so
like a super
Taylor
fan.
Taylor Swift is not in the Chiefs one?
I don't believe so. The ones in the Chiefs one are Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and L'Jarius Sneed.
Well, they made an error in judgment there.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing she didn't license her.
Well, again, one
should have.
One had a little foot on the line. Was that wrong? Is it hashtag too soon?
Wow. I mean, it might have.
All right, let's take a break. Jim Nantz, everybody. Jim Nantz calling the Super Bowl will join us next. This is the Rich Eisen Show prior to us heading to Las Vegas.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to lead you onto the field next year.
It's going to be weird getting into a huddle without Alex Smith too.
Because you did not obviously play in the last game of the year, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, so that was where Mahomes was out there.
Yeah.
What are your feelings now that Alex Smith has been unofficially traded away? To use your phraseology here,
it's awkward. It's awkward. I honestly don't know how to really accept it. I mean, my entire career, you can't say Travis Kelce without Alex Smith. I mean, he's been my quarterback. He's been the guy that's arguably I owe a lot of my success to him, you know? So it's going to be awkward going into a huddle, like I said, with anybody but Alex, but I know Pat is ready for the opportunity.
Sure.
He's taking a lot of mental reps and a lot of notes from Alex and how this thing should be ran. Alex ran it to an absolute T this past season. And, you know, obviously everyone's excited to see what he can do.
We had Chris Harris of the Broncos on game day morning in the playoffs. And he said when he was looking at film of Mahomes and he played a couple of series against him.
Yeah.
He says this kid's got some serious ability. The Broncos said that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything of that note yet?
Without a doubt. I mean, what he does in practice is it's fun to watch him in practice because kind of he's on the scout team, kind of just being a backyard quarterback, throwing it all every way imaginable you can think of, sidearm, underhand, putting the ball anywhere on the field. So it was definitely fun watching him in that regard. And when he played against the Broncos, I mean, he had a lot of footballs where he put it right on the money.
Right.
And in crucial times and crucial moments. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's going to be exciting to see where he can go with it because the expectation is definitely high.
Update. Not on the scout team anymore. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And a friendly reminder, as Jim Nantz is about to join us on this program, you can also listen to Super Bowl 58 for free by streaming it like you've been streaming all NFL on Westwood One games all season long for free. All season long, hopefully you've been listening to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station digital platforms, all sponsored by AutoZone. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner will have the call. You can listen to it again for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I do not take this for granted at all that I'm able to call him a friend and have him join us on this program the Tuesday before calling a Super Bowl. Always appreciative of having the great Jim Nantz on the Rich Eisen Show, streaming, as you can see, right now from Las Vegas. Good to see you, Jim.
Hello, my friend. It's great to be with you, Rich. Tradition unlike any other before the big events, and I love being with you. Your name came up yesterday. I just have to give a great public shout out here, unsolicited by you, but you were doing those games over in Europe play by play this season.
and you were working with a CBS production team.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And these are all you know, friends, colleagues, great friends of mine. Everybody universally came back talking about how much they enjoyed working with you and everyone from NFL Network. A huge legion of fans over here for all of you. And of course, they were aware that we're pals, but you had a lot of new friends that came out of those experiences in Germany and the UK. So congratulations.
Well, thank you, Jim. And again, you're so kind to pass that along, and the feeling's completely mutual. I mean, you know, when you're endeavoring a broadcast, it is a team effort. And then when you're in this particular instance, when you're flying to a different continent to do it, there's a certain, you know, there's a certain togetherness that you need in order to have something work. And I felt the same way about all of the CBS colleagues. And I always have, working on Thursday Night Football. First time I met you was at the U.S. Tennis Center when you were coming out as, you know, I guess just a fan going to watch some tennis when I was doing the late night show on CBS, the highlight show that used to exist. I still have my jacket and I still have my blazer. It fits. I'm very pleased to say.
Where is it? Is it in the master bedroom closet?
It's actually, I think it's in our closet right here at work, I think.
Is it here?
I think so. I don't know. So. But I also noticed they've upgraded. Like, you and Romo are wearing like the parkas. I like that with the logo right there. I mean, they've got the whole thing working now, Jim.
We were in a blizzard in Buffalo, back-to-back weekends. We had to put on the parka. I mean, that was rough sledding. That was before the wild card game against Pittsburgh. I came a day in advance to get out in front of the storm. And then, of course, the game got pushed back a day. Right. And there was this tribal travel ban. And unless you were a necessary worker, you were not allowed on the roads. 3 days without leaving the hotel. We're in a little boutique hotel that did a great job. The Reichert House. They kept some personnel because they couldn't get home. And it was like being in a private home as they cooked for us on three meals. But yeah, we needed the parkas, man. No parkas this week, though, indoors.
I love it. I love it, Jim. It's great. And you probably called more Brady games than other human on planet Earth.
That's not even close.
Right?
Not even close. Okay, it's over 100. This was actually researched one time by Stacey James, the great PR man for the Patriots. And when I eclipsed 100, he fed this information to the Boston Globe. And second most all time, I believe, was Al. At 59 was the number, but I was over 100.
So,
and surprisingly, was the second.
No, yeah. So you're the perfect person to ask. Are you getting a sense of deja vu with the Chiefs again? I mean, does it look similar to what we're seeing right now from this team?
In terms of a dynasty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking 4 out of 5 years and you have a chance to match up something that they did in 03, 04 and go back-to-back, the first franchise since New England to win consecutive Super Bowls, you bet. I mean, it definitely is taking on the same characteristics, a star generational quarterback. I mean, yeah, it's a coach that is a first ballot legend and Hall of Famer and Andy. So yeah, there's some similarities, and I'm just grateful they've landed in our conference since we're primarily the AFC network and we've had a chance to see and document these stories.
How have you watched him grow up, Mahomes, Jim? How has he changed in that way?
My first thought when you asked that, because I've been asked that before, is that he hasn't changed. Now, naturally, he's grown up over the course of the 6 years as a starting quarterback, but he's grounded. He's got a wonderful way about him. He's respectful to people. And I don't think he's changed all that much. I mean, listen, we're talking about a guy who's now become a father twice over, family man with a great family. But his playing is the same. His ability to lead, we saw that right out of the box. So I don't see anything about him that, wow, I remember how it used to be. No, this is kind of what it's been. since 2018 when he got the starting job.
It's truly amazing what he and what he can do now to go back to back. And that the last time we saw back to back Super Bowls 38 and 39, 38 being the last one for CBS you did not call. You were doing the pregame because I remember I had you and Dion and Boomer and everybody on NFL Total Access in our first ever Super Bowl in the history of NFL Network. So this is your seventh Super Bowl that you're calling, Jim, if I'm correct.
Right. I hosted it twice and you gave the Lombardi Trophy away on those two occasions. And I've given it away these times that I've called the game too. I've made the march down from the booth hurriedly with a lot of assistance and gotten down to the field through the blizzard of confetti, as they say, and I've been there for that incredible coronation when the trophy is presented. So yeah, it goes fast, man. This is 9 overall for me, 7 play-by-plays, and I am due, Rich, for a close one.
I don't mean to laugh, but what is the history here? What do you got?
You want history? Sure. I'll give you a few things. I'll give you that riveting Patriot Rams game in Atlanta, which was Super Bowl 53. I think it was 13-3 final.
That is correct.
And
yep. Uh-huh.
There was one snap the entire game in the red zone. One. It was a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel. It was set up with a seam pass down the field to Gronkowski. Got tackled at the 2. The next play, they punched it across. They never saw inside the 20 the rest of the game, and the Rams never saw it the entirety of the game. That was 3-0, I believe, going to the third quarter. So we're due. And then we had the can't-miss Mahomes-Brady matchup, the COVID game, the COVID Super Bowl, and that was one-sided. That wasn't great.
But hey,
you know what? I'm actually being a little unfair here. The Saints and the Colts game, which was Drew Brees' greatest moment, greatest triumph, was a 7-point game, 31-24.
Sure.
And the Ravens 49ers Harbaugh Bowl was a 3-point game with the Niners having 4 throws into the end zone from the 5. In the last 2 minutes to try to win it, all were incompletions. 3 of them were incompletions directed toward Michael Crabtree. That was a good game. But, you know, I'm looking for a field goal at the end of this one. You know, something like that. I'll take the Hail Mary if somebody wants to give it to us. We'll take that too. But I'm ready. I'm tired of being a number of times into the fourth quarter and into fill material and contextualizing and big picture and all this stuff. I want to be locked in on the next chapter. That is the next play.
I love it. And but let's also how it all started. Your first ever Super Bowl call, your first ever Super Bowl kick, right? Was, if I'm not mistaken,
Devin Hester. Yeah. The one and only opening kickoff return for a touchdown in Super Bowl history. It's a record I'm rather proud of, Rich. When I'm not doing the game, you know, we get it every third year. It's about to go to every fourth year. I root for the opening touchback, you know, opening kick touchback. Okay, we got another year out of this bad boy. So
I'll be thinking of that on Sunday when we see the opening. It'll keep going. That's something.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, though, Jim, I'll never forget that moment because when the Bears were receiving, the whole stadium, everybody was thinking, there's no way they are going to kick this ball to Devin Hester. There's no chance they're going to do that. And how rare is it, Jim, and you would obviously know better than anybody, that when there's a moment that everybody is watching collectively as a country thinking, it would be amazing if this happens, and it never does. The expectations never met. They kicked it to him, and he returned it. I'll never forget that. Never.
The last thing that left my lips as Vinatieri was Adam was putting the ball on the tee was setting up Hester and his ability and as he's now approaching the ball, I said, and the Colts have had a difficult time all season long covering kicks. They kick it down to the 8-yard line, and then, you know, Devin took off and got past the first wave, is what I said. And here he goes, you know. And boom, he was gone. The thing I loved about it the most, Rich, was it was perfect symmetry with the first play I ever saw in my life, which was the Saints' first ever game in franchise history, September the 17th, 1967. At the old Tulane Stadium, they took on the Los Angeles Rams. I was 8 years old. I was there with my father. I'd never been to an NFL game. And again, it's the Saints' first game. And the opening kick was returned for a touchdown by a player named John Gilliam, 94 yards for New Orleans for the touchdown. And to have that as my first play, and then my first play calling the game, goes the distance. My life was coming full circle, and I was grateful for that.
Jim, I love that. All right, before I let you go, what's going to go through your head and your heart, your chest? You're sitting there. It's what, I guess, 3:18 local time in Las Vegas, 6:18 Eastern. What's going to happen on Sunday for you, Jim?
Going to get lost in the game. Listen, we've done 21 broadcasts this season. It's been a wonderful season with Tony and Tracy and our crew. I just want it to feel like it always feels, the camaraderie, the chemistry. And I just want to get lost in the game. I'm going to be very excited the fact that my children are going to be at the game. And that includes, believe it or not, I have an 8-year-old son who's the same age. His first Super Bowl is at the age of 8, which was my age when I went to my first ever game, the one I mentioned, the aforementioned Saints debut. So he's 8. He's going to have a memory seared into his brain. That's important to me. And I'm just going to hope he's having a great time. And I hope to be watching it with a very well-prepared week for me. And I hope to see the joy and the gift of this game through a child's eyes, my son.
That's beautiful, Jim. As always, you are just one of one, man. I really appreciate the time here. You bet. And I can't wait to watch it. And literally, you already know there's no way there could be any bigger surprise or throw a figurative curveball your way more than, say, the moment in Buffalo between the Chiefs and the Bills when they show a cutaway of Taylor Swift's suite, and instead you see a shirtless, yelling, beer-holding Jason Kelce. That has to be way up there in terms of your having a curveball thrown your way in the history of your career.
That was priceless. We also had the great moment, though, at the end of the game. I say great moment. It wasn't a great moment for the Bills Mafia that I absolutely admire
yes.
to the 100th degree, but the kick with a minute and a half to go that went wide right, you just never know what's going to happen. And although I will say this, I really felt like had he made it, it was still going to be the Chiefs in the end because it was way too much time left for Patrick with 2 timeouts. You got Butker. They were going to win it anyway, I feel like. But, hey, listen, it's hard to believe. There's only been – now, this is the 58th game. I've been to 9 of them. That's not lost on me. This is as big as it gets, and my heart is – overflowing with gratitude. That's all I can tell you right now is the people that have had that chance. There's very few of us who have, and I'm grateful to be able to have it one more time. Well, and hopefully a few more after this too.
And it'll, of course, no question about it. And we're rooting for at the beginning a touchback so we can continue the streak.
Well, no, that's okay. As long as the opening kick happens on return happens on my watch,
okay,
I'm fine. It's next year I'm looking for the touchback.
My bad. I will make that note.
You know, when we don't have the Super Bowl, we go through the AFC Championship.
Yes.
And, I look at the rosters for the Super Bowl. The first thing I want to look at is how strong a leg do the two kickers have? Because one of them's going to be kicking off, and I want that record to hold up. There's two people that are watching that with a lot of concern. Me and Devin Hester.
That's right. You got that in common. Oh, my gosh. Jim, you're the best. Have a great broadcast.
Thanks,
truly
Rich.
Appreciate it. You be well.
Love being with you, pal. And on behalf of all of us at CBS, thank you for being such a great pro and a friend to so many of us.
That means the world. Man. You have no idea. You're the man. Thanks, Jim. You be well. That's Jim Nance, the great Bye-bye. Jim Nance, right here on the show.
How about that? Congratulations.
Oh, well, I mean, when you're on the road in Germany and London and you're calling a game that you know the rest of the world is going to be watching, seriously, literally, you know, because our broadcast is shown locally and then back home, and you know, and you don't know a lot of these folks personally, and you're just thrown together, you want to go out there and meet and hang out and imbibe. You know, it's the truth, especially if it's going to be on the NFL's dime.
No, why not?
I'll have another, you know.
But still, I mean, that says a lot about you as a person, bro. Like, you know, a lot of people aren't nice. Let's just be honest. And so for him, Jim Nance, of all people, to give you that compliment, that's something for you to be.
Well, first of all, Jim is a prince to, you know, that speaks to him to pass that along. But also, the Dolphins-Chiefs game was the weekend of NFL Network's 20th anniversary. So here I am, you know, 20 years after launching this network in Germany, hanging with a crew from CBS, an NFL partner, which would have been a dream. Are you kidding me? When we launched NFL Network, okay, we're going to have a game. Partners of the NFL are going to the NFL tells the partner this is what we prefer. Right. But honestly, though, that we are part of their world and there with ours, it was kind of a fascinating cross-section. I had a touch of the Vermeil, like literally every word out of my mouth, I started tearing up in front of the whole crew. And they were awesome. They were awesome. And we watched games together and it was pretty cool. I mean, you bond when you work together on a crew. That was so nice of Jim to pass that along. He is, as I said, one of one. Calling the game with Romo. I believe it's his third Super Bowl with Romo. And I, by the way, co-sign on the tight finish. That would be great. His first Super Bowl call is Devin Hester returning. That was the Prince halftime show we were talking about. 17th anniversary was over the weekend.
17 years. How is that much time?
17 years.
Yep.
Wow. Since that one. And again, our first Super Bowl, we were in Houston, which is, you know, obviously Jim's town. And he was the host of the CBS pregame show. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for us when we were doing Total Access. And then we had Jim, Boomer, Dion together. And that was wild. Having all of them together just meant so much to us. Let me make sure I get I got all of them correct. It really meant so much to us that they were all with us. Yeah, it was Marino, Dion, and Boomer, and Nance. And Greg Gumbel and Sims called that game. And then Jim did all the Super Bowls on CBS since. This is his seventh. That was a blast. I mean, he's the best. Don't take it for granted. Now, let's take a break. And I'm going to go see if the CBS jacket is in the back.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't, because if it's not there, I don't know where it is, which is freaking me out right now.
You pulled it out. You brought it out about 2 years ago. I can't remember.
Well, I brought it when NFL Network and CBS started doing the NFL Thursday night together. We had an event in New York where our crew and the CBS crew all got together in the offseason and held our preseason symposiums together. I wore my jacket to that one.
I thought it was when Susie made you clean out the closet.
It may be that too. It may have been one of the many like that. You know where that would look good?
That would look great. Not here. Yeah.
In the studio.
All right. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. TJ's got a great top five when we come back. Antonio Pierce from Vegas in hour three. It's kind of difficult to describe to people who were unfamiliar with it, as you might have been.
Have you met Patrick Mahomes?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
Yes, I have met Patrick
Mahomes. He's one of my heroes.
Oh, is that right?
That's true.
Oh. Okay.
I root for that team, even though I've never lived there.
Yes.
I think he is just phenomenal to watch.
Apropos of...
Nothing.
But
I was going to talk about the season finale of Barry. And
yes.
You were talking about the season finale of two Super Bowls ago.
And I was hoping Patrick was in it.
Next time you come on,
yes,
we'll make sure Mahomes is on the phone. We'll do that.
Truly?
You like him that much, huh?
I think that his ability is such a cut above. He is so passionate in the way he plays.
Yes.
He is so improvisorial in the way he plays. He is so sure. I just think it is instinctually great, actually.
Okay. Well, he now knows that, and we will make sure that we'll make this happen.
Yeah.
It would be my
honor.
Does
he listen?
Yes.
Patrick, hi.
He does. How are you? These things...
So can I just say, no, if Patrick is listening, I'd like to, you know, we make a great chicken stuffed with ricotta and spinach.
Yes.
With an unbelievable reduction. It can be yours if you're here in L.A.
Well, the Chiefs come play the Chargers, right? The Chiefs play the Chargers.
They do, actually.
We'll make this happen.
Those guys are good, too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they are.
They are not Mahomes.
That is correct. Oh, my gosh. All of Henry Winkler's appearances, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Look at what I got on. Hold on a minute. Wait a second. Hold on. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. For the radio audience, I did find my CBS Sports blazer that was given to me when I worked for CBS in the summer of 2003, 4 and 5. And I'm pleased to say it fits with a sweater underneath as well.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do I look full CBS or what? Hello, friend.
On fleek.
Thank you very much. I am on fleek. I am.
Is that John Miller?
That is John Miller. Remember when he came in here and he was in shorts?
He wore a Hawaiian shirt.
I know,
and
shirts
and
shorts and sandals. He's like, oh, we're on TV?
Squad goals.
That's right. He was fantastic. We got to get him back. I miss him.
That's funny.
Game Time tickets, everybody. Get the Game Time app on your mobile device near you immediately and get yourself a ticket to the big game. And if you do that, $100 off when you use the code Vegas100. I've been telling you about Game Time for quite some time. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you. Football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee gets you the best price every time. And the guesswork's totally removed out of buying tickets with Game Time because you get all-in prices. You get to see the view from your seat. And right now, all Game Time users get $100 off a big game ticket with the code Vegas100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app and use the code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Boom!
Thank you. Appreciate that. Guys, I mean, this is...
That looks good, man.
This means... You know what this means? I'm a fine wine, and also... I don't know.
You've kept your playing weight?
Well, my playing weight, it's just, I'm buttoning a jacket that's under with a sweater underneath it, which means maybe I needed to let this out a little bit a long time ago. I don't know.
Does this mean you're running a 5'9"? Like, what are we talking about?
I'm feeling good, brother. What can I tell you?
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
All right.
But I can feel it.
It's not until April. So, TJ, you have a top five?
I do.
What's your top five?
Well, Jay Philly.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
All right.
Hit that theme music.
Kaboom. What do you got?
Guess who stepped in the room? Listen, Rich, on Thursday, February the 8th, as you know, during NFL honors, the 2024 class will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
You'll be there, right?
I will be there.
So it kind of made me thinking. I know MMA does this when in addition to inducting individual fighters and people who contribute to the sport, they also induct individual fights.
Okay.
And that made me think, man. So I dug into the big ass grab bag and I decided I was going to give you five NFL games throughout history that I feel the Pro Football Hall of Fame should induct.
So if they were inducting contests, games.
Individual games, yes.
These are the top five that
I
you would induct.
These are five. That
playoff
are,
games or all time?
Games, any. These are.
Anytime there's been a toe meeting football.
Anytime, Rich.
All right, have it.
Cornucopia of games. All right, so the first game I got starts in 1968.
We went
back a little bit. And it's the Heidi game. where Oakland Raiders beat the Jets 43-32. Now, 65 seconds left in the game, the Jets kick a field goal to go up 32-29 over the Raiders. The Jets kick off, and then the movie Heidi starts. Just out of nowhere, because NBC decided that no matter what, at 7 p.m., they were going to start the movie Heidi.
You imagine?
And millions of Americans just assumed that the Jets won the game, which they did not, because the Raiders came back to win.
That's odd.
So what that did is it changed a bunch of television rules. Now, you know, you're not allowed to cut away from games. And I know as a Jet fan, you probably wish that they
You weren't even alive yet, Ridge.
Yeah, so you can't really be too mad about it. But I think the Heidi game was just such a big moment in football, especially with television. That I feel like that game should be remembered and inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also, 1972, down 7-6 with 22 seconds left. Terry Bradshaw's pass intended for Frenchie Fuqua bounces off of Jack Tatum's helmet and it's plucked out of the air by Franco Harris. He runs 60 yards for a touchdown, and so the immaculate reception is born. This was voted the most famous play in football history, if I'm not mistaken. I feel that this game is very well deserved to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Next, we have 1975. Okay. When I closed my eyes and I threw the ball, I said a Hail Mary, Roger Staubach. I think the Hail Mary game between the Cowboys and the Vikings deserves to be inducted just because that term has become so synonymous in the sports lexicon with football and hope, and you're throwing a Hail Mary. And Dallas came back to win that game and almost kind of kickstart their dynasty, but they lost the next week, so whatever. But I think the Hail Mary game. Also, one of my least favorite games, 1982, the catch. This ended kind of Dallas's run. This started San Francisco's dynasty with Dwight Clark catching the pass in the back of the end zone as Joe Montana's rolling to his right with two tall Jones and half the defense of the Dallas Cowboys chasing him. He hits Dwight Clark, makes the catch. The dynasty is born. I think this game is worthy of being inducted. And lastly, Brockman, I think you'll like this 2001. Let me just get this right. NFL rule number 3, section 22, article 2, note 2. It's the tuck rule. It's the game that kicked off the Patriots dynasty. It's the game that kind of started Tom Brady on his route to becoming the greatest of all time. Patriots 16, Raiders 13 in that AFC division. I just feel like some of these games, they had, you know, dynasty starting ends, and I feel like these games are a good place to start. But also, I'm also interested to see what you guys have to say. What games would you think would be worthy of being inducted?
It's called the snow game. I mean,
New Englanders call it the
snow game. From New England, snow game. You know, but.
Last game at Old Foxborough Stadium. I mean, come on.
That's right. Tom Brady's first career playoff game, wasn't it?
Divisional round.
Didn't Brady perform? Let me check that out.
Turn down.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
But I just feel like these games kind of encompass the game, some big moments, some terminology, the way
they
television was
the
presented,
week.
The way sports on TV was presented was changed forever by the Heidi.
I mean, that was an amazing game in the snow, too. I remember it.
Both kicks. So overtime and the one to tie it.
Right.
Think about this, Chris. Think about back in 2022. We're watching the Chiefs-Bills
game. That was
Brady's
first career playoff game.
We're watching the Chiefs-Bills playoff game where the scoring was going crazy. Imagine if at like 7 o'clock CBS decided to change the NCIS. And you're like, wait a minute, that's not Patrick Mahomes. That's Wilmer Valderrama. Like, what are we doing? So, you know, that changed television and sports forever.
By the way, Brady had a rushing touchdown in that game.
By the way, Brady won the first 10 playoff games of his career.
Yeah, is that good?
He was almost 0-1, but started 10-0 instead.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Great rule.
Jeez.
Great rule.
It was, let me tell you something. What's kind of crazy, first of all, that they took a football game off the air to make sure that everybody got to start Heidi on time.
Yeah.
Also, how long would they have been replaying that touchdown if instant replay existed? The Immaculate Reception.
Oh, my God. We'd still be going.
I mean, we've seen that play so many.
Right. Like, you can't
also
tell. You'd have to stay. It would have to stand as called. You can't tell if that ball hit the ground.
Also, if that happened now, there'd be I mean, we saw the promo. How many cameras are going to be at the Super Bowl?
That's right. Yeah.
There were only four cameras at that game.
They've got six. Yeah. And I should ask Jim about the upright cam.
Upright.
Damn.
Doink cam.
It
doink
literally took cam. About 48 years for me to see a shot of that play that I'd never in my life seen. Yeah. It was like somebody held on to this footage forever, and it clearly shows Franco did catch it.
All right.
Welcome us to the airport.
That was a great game in itself, the snow game, Brady versus Oakland, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, there's so many. I had 20 to chop down the list. I mean, there's so many games out there. You know, the Ice Bowl. There was a game that was literally called the greatest game ever played.
You call it the snow game. Everyone else calls it the tuck game.
Correct.
Amy takes the T off and puts the F game. That's Amy Trask. It is called WTF. Fair. Hour three coming up.
Best Super Bowl ever? Or one that you've personally seen?
Well, I mean, I told you the other day I gave a top number one was the Patriots and the Seahawks. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it.
You know what I saw, Chris, right? I'd never seen this.
By the way,
there's
tons of lead changes in that one too.
Yeah, it was back and forth.
Right at the play before as the play that Butler caught the pick.
Oh,
he wasn't in the game. Like, I saw a video of a coach saying, Butler, get in the... So, just the amount of preparation, that wasn't just
And for Al, too. I mean, I don't think he had Malcolm Butler on his sheet, you know, prominently displayed. I mean, he had a board, and he was on the board, but...
And also, a couple of plays before
he was right
that,
on it.
Jermaine Kearse makes one of the greatest circus catches ever.
From his back.
Right, yeah. I know. Unreal.
And then me, and I'm sure Pats fans everywhere, thinking, here we go again. This is Tyree 2.0.
I know.
How did he catch that?
And then it was going to be a continuation of the longest drought of Brady's career without winning one.
Absolutely.
It's going to be another one. It's going to be 11 years.
Yeah, I mean, this was a contender, too.
And we wouldn't be talking about the Chiefs being the first repeat winner since Brady.
Yeah.
Seattle was about to go.
Absolutely.
And you're talking about different Hall of Fame trajectories.
Oh,
and you're talking about dynastic.
Oh yeah.
Conversations. That's why that's number one for me.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro. And she'd be like, what song? At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.